Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
No, he didn't slam you, he didn't bump you, he didn't nudge you, he rubbed you. And rubbing, son, is racing.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
This is Pit Pass USA, the fastest auto racing location on the internet, with the latest news, the best interviews, and our own brand of commentary. Here's your host, Larry Henry.
Hi again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Pit Pass US Inc. Glad to have you on board. Hopefully you had a great weekend last weekend and look forward to some racing as really the season's begin to wind down this weekend. We're going to talk a lot of American Le Mans Series and sports car racing. A couple of champions were crowned last week, even though 1 week to go. We'll talk about the GT champion and the PC class champion. We'll also take a look at the World Touring Car Championship that comes to the U.S. for the first time. And we'll talk a little ARCA racing. They ran at Salem, the half-mile track, last weekend. This last weekend, the American Le Mans Series presented by Tequila Patron was running at Virginia International Raceway. And some champions were crowned that day, even though there was one race to go in the season. One of those came in the very competitive GT Championship. And that's where Ollie Gavin and Tommy Milner won the GT Drivers Championship and the Team Championship for Corvette Racing. And joining me now is Tommy Milner. Tommy, congratulations on a great run this year and still one to go.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's been really pretty much a dream season for me and for Ollie. We've really all year long gelled together and obviously just little things, throughout the year that have gone our way. We've basically taken advantage of all, of having a quick car and not making too many mistakes throughout the year. So, here we are now, having clinched the championship for drivers and team and manufacturer. Obviously our teammates Jan and Antonio obviously were a big part of that as well, but they definitely had all the bad luck of this year.
And you say things going your way. Well, things went your way at the very beginning of the race in Virginia with Ollie Gavin behind the wheel, because there was a major melee right at the start of the race, cars everywhere, and somehow he got through unscathed.
Yeah, I mean, I think that just goes to sort of a perfect imagery sort of about a year so far, when as things like that happening in front of us, we've been able to avoid really any major damage to the car throughout the year. I mean, obviously we had the one unlucky race there at Mosport. We had a very rare mechanical fault for Corvette Racing, but that wasn't enough to hold us back the rest of the year. We really just throughout the year have executed as a team on the fourth car there. Throughout the year, pit stops were really good, the right pit calls, and then even as far as having a race car all year long that both Oliver and I felt like that we could race with and win with. Our GT class is so competitive that really you almost have to have a perfect race to win the race. And we definitely had that at VIR, and I would say Mid-Ohio also was one of the races where we really had a sort of a perfect race. So it's just been all year long. It's been really, really good. It's been sort of a dream season for me. It's been a pleasure to drive with Oliver. He's been a great teammate. He's been, very supportive of me throughout the whole process, the whole year here. Honestly, this is his fourth championship now that he's won in driver's championship in the LMS. It wasn't probably until the last two races here where he obviously kind of started talking to me a little bit about, what it's like to be in this position, because that was the first time that I've been in that position to be able to really, be in the hunt there at the end for a driver's championship. but he was obviously a key part of just making sure that my head's in the right place and thinking about big picture stuff.
You've had a couple of fabulous years. I mean, you go back, you win the 24-hour Le Mans a year ago, and now this year to win the championship in the American Le Mans Series. That's a pretty good 2-year run.
Yeah, it's definitely been two really good years with Corvette Racing so far, and hopefully many more. And like you said, I mean, last year was even so in the ALMS, we didn't have a great year. A lot of in my case, some disappointing races from me making mistakes and things like that. I think in the end, as I kind of look back at the season at the end of last year, I was just sort of trying too hard in many cases. And that was one thing that I wanted to sort of change about this year was not, overexert myself on the racetrack, trying to make things happen where nothing was, could happen. And I think, obviously every year, every race, every day at the racetrack, I learn more and more about, myself as a driver, about the car that I'm driving and things like that. So, certainly, 1 year of having, of driving with Corvette Racing and driving the car and again, learning throughout the year, has obviously helped prepare me for this year. And obviously the 6 or 7 years now of racing in the ALMS that I can kind of pull from experience that I used throughout this year to really try and maximize, every lap, every race paid off.
I know last year Corvette Racing disappointed, obviously, in not winning in the American Le Mans Series, at least the championship, a year ago, and did a lot of work in the off season with the car and getting it ready for this year to make the run that you've had. And you talk about that a lot, but it really is a team effort and never giving up. And to win 4 races out of 9 that have been run in the American Le Mans Series this year in the GT category, and those that don't watch that closely, the GT category in ALMS, I think you could put it up against anybody anywhere in the world, and it's got to be about the toughest class anywhere.
Yeah, and that obviously that makes this that much sweeter, knowing how competitive the GT class has been, and the level of drivers and teams and cars, and just seeing the amount of effort that all these different teams put in to have a great year. And seeing over my 7 years racing in the ALMS GT, seeing how competitive it is and how hard it is to do well and to win races. In my case, I hadn't won a race until this year. And so, seeing all that and going through races where it probably could have won the race and things fall apart and something happens and kind of slips away. Having driven, that long in the ALMS and not having a win, in the ALMS made the first race at Long Beach that much sweeter. But now, really just kind of topping off the whole year with the driver's championship with 1 race to go and obviously going up to Petite, which is a very difficult race in its own right. Knowing that we can just go there and have fun and really focus on winning the race, not worrying about points and things like that. It's going to be a lot of fun for sure. And it's been great with Corvette Racing, as you said, kind of seeing from where we were last year with our car and really not being super competitive anywhere really. And now coming this year and feeling like, we feel like that we have a chance to win the race at every race. That's something that I would say that I'm not sort of used to. The last couple of years I've had great cars and great teams, but I've always just felt like we've just been a little bit behind the eight ball. And this year definitely felt like, as long as we got the setup right in the car, that we would be competitive.
I'm talking with Tommy Milner here on Pit Pass USA. And Tommy, you've kind of touched on this a couple of times, how you have changed as a driver. What do you feel you have changed or improved in, say, the last couple of years?
I think over the last couple of years, the one thing, competing with, some of the best GT drivers in the world and having some of them as my teammates. I mean, I've been fortunate throughout my career to have great teammates and guys that I can learn from and really kind of grow the driver and see how they approach a weekend and approach car setup and things like that. I've also been fortunate to have those great teammates. I think what what I've noticed the most, you know, over these years is just being able to sort of get up to speed quickly at any racetrack, whether it's a new track or one that I've been to for a long time, and really sort of end up, you know, maximizing the what ends up being a pretty small amount of time on the racetrack before the race, which obviously is crucially important, you know, for car setup and things like that, to be able to go out there and in just in a couple laps be able to, you know, feel like you have a good handle on what the car is doing, and then can then relay that information to the engineers and start working on making the car better and not working on myself trying to figure out, you know, how I can go faster. So that, I think that's number one. And then number two, one thing that I felt like that I've always been pretty good at, but that I've sort of in some ways kind of honed over the last couple of years is just being consistent in the races. You know, being consistent in traffic and being able to, if there is, you know, in the race, an aspect of the car that's not great, being able to sort of drive around the issue, or for instance, if we, you know, like this past weekend at VIR, we in my first stint in the car had a bit of an issue with rear tire wear. So having seen that and kind of gotten a feel for what Oliver was saying, being able to kind of protect those rear tires as best I could and make them last as long as possible. So I think those two things, with any driver, I think those are two areas that separate the real veterans, in racing, to, you know, to have those two strengths, to be able to get up to speed quickly. And then also, you know, really maximizing, you know, each and every lap, every corner, in the races. I think those two things separate the guys that can go fast, but maybe can't do it as long in the races. And again, I think that I learned a lot of that from some of my teammates in the past.
Yeah, and you mentioned teammates, and you mentioned Oliver Gavin, who you co-drive with, and the other is Jan Magnussen, who I've known over the years. I knew him back in his IndyCar days when he ran, which has been quite a while ago. But those are going to be two great resources for a young driver to learn what they have seen over the years and the number of races that they have been in.
Yeah, I mean, last year all my co-drivers had at least either raced or tested a Formula One car. And, I mean, Oliver's tested. I know Antonio's tested a Formula One car and Jan obviously raced for a while there. So there's a lot of, and that's off, you know, oftentimes the case for a lot of the guys that race in GTs, guys that have, you know, IndyCar and Formula One and some of these, you know, very elite, drivers that we compete against. So, you know, I talk to my teammates as much as I can and try to pick their brain whenever I can. You know, you just being around guys like that and, you know, in my case, just kind of being quiet and letting them and just sort of from a distance kind of watching and see how they handle different things. And I've been able to do that even as a young kid with my father's team with guys like Borstedt and Hans Stuck and Bill Alderlin and guys like that that I basically grew up around, and even so at that point I wasn't really racing much at all, but you know, just having people like that guys like that to sort of look up to and listen to and follow, even so that, you know, maybe when I was 13, 14 years old at the racetrack, even so I wasn't listening, thinking about me being a driver myself, but just absorbing what they, you know, how they approach a weekend, as I think it's definitely, you know, helped me today.
Well, obviously it's paid off big dividends as you and Ollie Gavin this year get the championship, Drivers Championship and GT, Manufacturers Championship, Team Championship, and one more to go, the biggie, Petit Le Mans down at Road Atlanta, 10 hours, 1,000 or 1,000 miles, whichever comes first. It's a great race and a great time. And again, congratulations on all of the titles that you acquired for Corvette Racing, and good luck at Petit Le Mans.
Thank you very much.
Tommy Milner, along with Ollie Gavin, wound up as the GT champions in the America Le Mans Series, gave the team manufacturer also to Corvette Racing. Great run for them this year. And Tommy, again, last year, at Le Mans, wound up the 24 hours winner in GT. So he's got a pretty good couple of years under his belt. Next up, we'll turn our attention to the PC category. Not only the driver, but the team owner. We'll talk to John Bennett. We return to Pit Pass USA, part of the Power Motorsports Series on VoiceAmericaSports.com.
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Are you looking for the ultimate trail to hike? Maybe you're looking to do the ultimate backpacking adventure. Whether you're a day hiker or an all-out backpacker, be sure to tune in to Backpacking America's Trails with host Rob Maureen. We'll explore some of the most fascinating places on Earth. In addition, we'll talk about backpacking gear, including reviews, safety tips, and more. Our experts will share recipes, destinations, and skills to make backpacking the most enjoyable experience for you. Listen every Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
When it comes to youth and high school football, listen each week to Coach Al Gross at First and Ten Football. Coach covers vital topics relating to the latest trend on a national level. Join Coach as he interviews personalities from the NFL, NCAA, and the top high school coaches from around the country. Catch all the interviews and get in-depth information online at www.firstandtenfootball.com. Your national resource for youth and high school football. First and Ten Football airs Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Sports.
Tune in to a show about making a comeback and what really goes on behind the scenes with your favorite athletes and beyond. Listen for The Comeback Radio Show with Tony Farmer. A lot of people believe what they read on the internet, hear and see in the media, and on the news. We're going to give our guests the chance to tell the real story without the extra hype. It's not just sports, although that will be a focal point of the program. We'll also look at the world of celebrities, music, modeling, and more. Listen every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
The American Le Mans Series presented by Tequila Patron. Only one race to remain in the season, but several championships have been decided. And one of those, as in the PC class, last year was called the LMPC, Le Mans Prototype Challenges, or the Prototype Challenge. And for 2 years in a row, the same team has won it. And they've only been in existence the last 2 years in this category, and yet they've been able to do it twice. And the man that's the owner and also co-drives one of the two cars that they run is John Bennett, who joins me now of Core Autosport. And John, congratulations, a fabulous two-year start to your campaign in the American Le Mans Series.
Hi, Larry. Yes, thank you. It's been a fantastic run for us. Really have enjoyed our time in the LMS, and very, very thankful for the success that we've had. It's a fitting tribute to the hard work that everyone on our team puts in on the cars and during the weekends. And in racing, it can be hard. It can be a hard business where hard work is not necessarily paid off in results, but we've been very, very fortunate. So it's been fantastic.
Of course, last year the championship went down to the final race at Petit Le Mans. You won the team championship by 1 point, but the drivers' championship, first time in history, was a three-way tie. Two of your drivers, of course, were there, Gunnar Jeanette and Ricardo Gonzalez, and then Eric Lux, who was a rival with Genoa Racing, which was history making. Then this year you come back, and the 06 car wins with Alex Pompoff behind the wheel. He gets the driver championship there. And it's just unbelievable what you've done.
Yeah, it was quite exciting last year. In the dark at 9:30, heading to 10 towards the end of the race, and still not knowing either the status of the team championship or the driver's championship, and really essentially until the last minutes of the race. So, while that was quite exciting, I'm relieved that we get to go to Road Atlanta. I wouldn't call it with a fun race ahead of us, but a little bit of the pressure of both of those championships taken off, so we can really roll up our sleeves and get after it at Road Atlanta. So, but yeah, it's been a great season for us. Our teammate Alex and his co-drivers, which have been essentially Tom Kimber-Smith and Ryan Dial, great season. And quite an interesting inter-team rivalry for a couple of races, which I'm glad didn't get all tangled up as it might have been. So very happy for Alex. He definitely has worked hard racing in two series and working very hard to make races sometimes in two places at the same weekend. So yeah, fantastic. We're really quite excited about the two championships and of course back to back for CORE. And looking forward to Petit Le Mans. And in fact, we've been very fortunate at CORE. This is our third season in existence, and our first year we actually were able to win the championship in the IMSA Lights category. So it's three seasons, three championships. We're a little bit spoiled.
Well, let's talk about you as a driver. You broke through this year with your first victory in the American Le Mans Series, and you've got three going to Road Atlanta and Petit Le Mans.
Yeah, it's been a great season. Carl and I joined forces back in February for the test and set our sights on a full season together. As Colin has shown during the year, he is quite a talented young race car driver, and he's pulled me up along with him. He's been good for me. I think that my performance level has increased a little bit, trying to keep up with the young guy. And we've been a good team, and look forward to continuing that next year. So, great season with Colin. He's a wonderful guy inside and outside the car, and quite an asset to our team.
Yeah, Colin's been doing this, I think, since he was in diapers, considering racing runs in his family. Of course, former NASCAR Camping World Truck Series Rookie of the Year, but he ran with Jack Roush for a couple of years there, and of course had been on the podium at Le Mans as a teenager. He's done a lot of things, but for you yourself, I mean, this isn't something you do professionally as a living, as a driver, and to get to this point where you are co-driving a car that is being on the top step of the podium, and moving your craft work up as a driver, what things do you feel like you've really improved in and continue to improve in as you move through your career and get more, as they say, seat time?
Yeah, I mean, every season is a little bit different. It comes with different challenges, and I was a little frightened. Someone asked the question last weekend, and this is actually my 30th season in motorsports. Unlike a lot of the drivers that I associate with in the ALMS, my early beginnings were not too spectacular in terms of equipment. I spent quite a few seasons in the early days racing around pylons and parking lots, which is what I could afford at the time. You know, as you know, motorsports can be quite expensive, and so I've worked hard both on my skills inside a race car, but I've also had to work very hard to put myself in a financial position to afford to go racing. And, you know, you never know. You set your sights high when you start to head off towards a dream. And you know, sometimes that can get derailed or sidetracked, but I've been very, very fortunate that, both on the professional, let's say engineering side, I've been very successful with the company that I started back in 1995 that just provided the financial, cornerstone to getting, you know, in some of the upper levels of motorsports, which the ALMS is. And then you find yourself on an international stage with race drivers that have lots and lots of experience and lots of high-level cars and venues such as Le Mans, Silverstone, and Indianapolis, et cetera. So it takes a little while to realize, you know, who you're on the track with and what they're like to race with. And for the most part, it's been quite enjoyable. I mean, the competitors that I've driven against in the ALMS, both in the GT category and the Prototype category, they're very, very good. They're very fun to race with. They're adults. They're, you know, great skills. And it takes a little while to get used to having, you know, icons of motorsports in cars all around you and competing. So it's been just absolutely fantastic.
Now, John, as I said, you've established yourself in the PC category, winning the championship the last 2 years. You've got another year next year coming up. But In 2014, that's going to be the biggie when the Grand Am Rolex Series and the America Le Mans Series combine together. We still don't know what the classes are. How much does that, as you wait to hear exactly what's going to happen, get the details in your preparations? Because teams are always looking in the future. How does that play with what your plans are?
Yeah, it can be quite complicated if you try to become a little bit too proactive. Quite honestly, we look forward to competing in the series in whatever configuration it looks like in 2014, and essentially adapting to what arrives. Quite honestly, I've really enjoyed our stay in the ALMS. Personally, very interested in the European style of racing of Le Mans prototypes and very sophisticated GT cars, and I hope that the great minds that are putting this new series together will allow some of that international flavor to enter into what is the new organization. I'd like to see a continued association with ACO and some connection to teams competing in the United States in this new championship, also having a tie and an opportunity to participate in the 24 Hours of Le Mans. But, it's a little bit out of our control. I think that there are great, great people in the room that will decide, what this championship looks like. Ultimately, the series has to be a business, and I'm learning a little bit more about the business of motorsports every weekend. And it's about tracks and promoting races and people coming and enjoying themselves and spending money on tickets and gifts and souvenirs. I guess at the end of the day, like in my manufacturing business, the most important thing is the customers of this new race series, getting them to come out to the race and to see a very interesting event. So we'll have to wait and see. I'm looking forward to participating and hopefully, if the finances are in place, we'd like to definitely participate in the upper levels of whatever becomes prototype racing.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting time in 2014, and hopefully we'll get the information on exactly what's going to be what. They've got to do it sometime at the beginning of next year, or early in the year, so everybody can make the plans for it. But right now, you are on top. You have been the last 2 years. Good luck at Petit Le Mans, 10 hours going into the dark or 1,000 miles with all sorts of cars and huge fan turnout at Road Atlanta. It's a fun time. Great way to end the season. And no pressure, and then go celebrate the championship of the banquet. Congratulations to you and everyone involved.
Thank you, Larry. I appreciate that, and I look forward to many more years speaking with you.
John Bennett, he may be the owner of Core Auto Sport, who have won the championship the last 2 years in a row, but hey, three wins this year too. The first time in the America Le Mans Series for him to do that, teaming up with Colin Brown. They have had a great run 2 years in a row and look forward to 2013. Next up, we will turn our attention to little ARCA racing. They took the track in Salem last weekend. We'll talk to the winner, Tom Hessert, when we return to Pit Pass USA, part of the Power of Motorsports Series on VoiceAmericaSports.com.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Fantasy sports is where the action really is. Over 40 million people play fantasy sports, but rarely do they get to quiz the experts. Fantasy Insights is the name and the game. Tune in every week as Dish Adams and his guests clue you in on the fantasy football game, what's happening on and off the field, and how it will affect your fantasy team. These experts aren't just beat writers assigned to fantasy football. They live and breathe the game. Tune in to Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams every Thursday afternoon at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Sports.
Sports and medicine go hand in hand. Quite simply, if you aren't up to your game health-wise, you won't be up to your game on the field. That's where Bruce the Sports Doc comes in. Dr. Bruce Grossinger uses his medical training and experience to bring you a link between sports and medicine. from the latest advances and treatments to discussion behind the injuries of the week. Bruce, the sports doc, and his team of guest experts are here each week to lay it on the line in terms that you can understand. Tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Want to experience football from the perspective of two former players who also have coaching experience? Tune in to Sports Info UM with Daryl Oliver and Sam Sword. We'll talk about the drafts, play-by-play, and even what's happening in the offseason. Daryl and Sam have the connections and the knowledge to bring you the inside stories of the game's past, present, and future. We'll cover the camps, on and off field, and everything else, football and beyond. Sports Info UM is heard Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
The ARCA Racing Series presented by Menards last Saturday night was at historic Salem Speedway, the High Bank Half Mile track in southern Indiana. And this gentleman came home a winner, and he did it for Ken Schrader, driving the Federated Car Care Machine. That is Tom Hesser. Tom, congratulations on the big win.
Well, thank you very much. It was a great night for us in the Federated, and Kenny was there and everything, so it was really good. And perfect night for us, and thanks for having us on the show.
Well, those that don't know Salem Speedway, it has been around forever, and you go back through the years, the great names of auto racing have raced there in the past. They used to run what we would call the USAC Silver Crown in the old days there. The A.J. Foyts, the Rathmans, the Parnelli Jones, those types of people ran there. Just about everyone has at one point in time. And I think it's the same surface they ran on back then. It is rough and tumble around that High Bank half mile, but it is quick, and it is always an interesting race.
Yeah, it's just such a neat racetrack. It's, I guess the first time I went there was like in 04 or so in a USAC midget, and I ran some sprint cars there, and of course the ARCA cars. We've just always been good there, and I really love the history of our sport. So, to finally roll in the victory lane at a place like Salem is very special to me, and it's very, very cool.
Well, one of the things that you have to do on any half-mile track is survive. You almost didn't. I think, what was it, under 50 laps into the race, there was a big accident right in front of you, and most of the track is blocked, but somehow you got through.
Yeah, there was a big wreck there off turn four, and actually red flagged the race and stopped it. And like you said, it pretty much blocked the racetrack, and I was kind of headed that way, and my hole closed up, so I just stopped, and everything was fine, I thought, and then one of the other cars backed up into my right front fender, trying to leave the scene of the crime. So mashed in my right front fender, and we had to come down pit road way earlier than we wanted. I think it was around lap 50. And we put on two right side tires, and from there we had a pretty long green flag run. And that was a pivotal moment for us in the race. It really, made the strategy play into our hands very, very well. And that coupled with a very good car that Donnie and the guys brought. It just worked out very well in our favor.
And it had to be great, too, with Kenny Schrader being on hand to do that for them, to bring them the first win with you in ARCA in that car.
Oh, absolutely. Kenny's a terrific guy and has been, so involved in motorsports over the past, who knows how many years, he would say, since, 1900 blank. It was great having him there. And then Federated, they had a ton of people there. J.R. Bishop and his wife Allison were there from Federated, and I think they had a few hundred people on site. So it was a great night. It was wonderful to get back in victory lane for Kenny, and to do it on a night when our sponsor was having a nice hospitality event and was the presenting sponsor of the race. Made it that much better.
How tough is it, though? It was a one-day event to practice, to qualify, and run all in one day. Do you like that?
It's probably a little bit more difficult. Physically, you got to pay attention a little bit, maybe hydrate. But, it was so cool out. It's not really a big deal. And the practice and everything, you get the same amount of time, whether you have a two-day show or a one-day show, you know, two 45-minute practices and then a break and then qualifying. So really the only difference comes down to the race. That's the only thing that's different on the on a one-day show. Everything else is scheduled out the exact same. And really, I like the one-day show. I think it's great. I think it's, personally, I think all the short track races are so much better at night. The cars look cool. You can see the sparks. You can see the brake rotors glowing, and the cars just look great under the lights. And I think that's more exciting for the fans. I wish we raced everyone under the lights.
Obviously, you've never left Salem Speedway and been on Indiana 56 trying to dodge the deer at night.
Absolutely. I've seen a couple of deer out there, but I've been busy enough trying to dodge stuff for 200 laps at the high banks. I've been lucky enough to miss the deer too.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, what about you? You really didn't run for a few races there. Was that planned? And now getting back into the car here for the stretch run, the final few races.
Well, you know, it certainly wasn't our plan from the beginning of the year. Our plan was to. Actually, the plan was to run as many as we could, and we ran the first, I don't know, we were supposed to go to the first five, and after Toledo was over, the fifth race, we were leading the points, so we're like, oh, well, we got to keep going here, and we went to the next one, and I think we ran fourth or fifth or something, and we were still second in points, and, oh, well, we got to go to the next one, so we kept going until we kind of had a rough stretch there at Pocono, Michigan, and fell a little bit down in the points, so then we took a little bit of time, regrouped, missed a few races, and have been pretty solid since we've come back with our last four races. We've been very competitive, and you know, the team's doing a great job, and as of now, I know we're going to DuCoin. Not sure about Kansas at this point, but it's been a pleasure.
What do you think about running on the dirt? That's one of the interesting things about the ARCA Racing Series. You run on everything, including two dirt tracks.
Yeah, it's so cool. Everyone talks about it, but, you know, Daytona, Talladega, Kansas, Pocono, Michigan, Salem, Toledo, a road course in New Jersey, and then two dirt tracks. So, I mean, we've really got it covered as far as all the different styles of racing and what you could actually possibly do in a stock car. You know, we do them all. We've had races in the rain, and then to go to the dirt track, I think, is just so neat. It's an old historic event. DuCoin is such a neat racetrack. We always get a great crowd on hand. And, Bob Sargent does a terrific job promoting the event and keeping up with the racetrack and giving us a good surface to race on. But, you know, I did quite a bit of racing in the midgets and sprint cars on the dirt, and I've always really enjoyed it. And I think we only have one decent finish to show for, you know, the handful of times that we've been to DuCoin, which is a shame because we always run really well there. And, hopefully coming off a good run at Salem, we'll be able to get ourselves another good finish, maybe a shot at a win coming up in a few weeks.
We're talking with Tom Hassard here on Pit Pass USA, the winner of the ARCA Racing Series event at Salem Speedway last weekend, the high-banked half-mile track. And Tom, we're getting to that point of the season. What are the plans for next year? Do you have any in place? Are you still working on everything?
The only thing I know right now is that I'm going to DuCoin. So I'm going to DuCoin in a few weeks. Actually, 2 days before that, I'm going to run Traders Modified at Terre Haute. And I've never driven a modified, so that should be pretty cool. I haven't been to Terre Haute in probably 5 years or so, and really haven't driven a purpose-built dirt car in probably 5 years. So that should be a blast and a good way to end the season on a nice dirt racing weekend if we don't make it to Kansas. But as far as next year goes, I don't know. You know, Kenny and I spoke a little bit. I don't really know where I'm going to be, but I certainly hope to be driving something full time, or as often as I can. Racing's the best sport to me, and I've had a pleasure being a part of it, and want to keep going for as long as I can.
Since you've driven just about everything under the sun, do you look at the Grand Am Rolex Series, which of course is going to merge with the American Le Mans Series in 2014? They've also got a Continental Tire Sports Car Challenge, which got 104,000 cars that start every race. Is it ARCA? Is it NASCAR? Or is it, hey, anything where I can go drive, I'm available?
It's anything, really. I mean, you know, when we get done the road course race in New Jersey, which we always seem to go pretty well, and I grew up around road racing, I'm like, man, that went pretty well, and I only do this once a year. Maybe I should do this a little bit more. But but then, you know, it really comes down to anything. It's so much fun to race, and it really doesn't matter. You know, you could be, Trader's the best example. He says it's just as much fun to win, you know, Saturday night at Paducah in the Modified as it is to win, you know, a cup race. Now, I got to call him out a little bit on that deal, but he says the only difference is a couple of zeros. But, you know, it's the truth. Racing's, it's a blast. The competition and the camaraderie and the people you meet and the places you travel to, it's just great to be a part of it and race anything you can anytime.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like you're going to walk away from it. You're just going to keep digging after it no matter what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, whether it's, you know, racing something at home or, you know, racing a couple ARCA races, if I could get in a Nationwide or a truck, I'd love to. Or, you know, who knows? I'd love to go sports car racing again at some point. I think that's a blast. You know, the 24 Hours Daytona, I grew up going there. My dad had success there, and I'd love to go back there someday, or, you know, Sebring or anywhere. You know, it's, like I said, it's just a terrific sport. It's a lot of fun. You meet great people along the way, and I always wanted to be a part of my life, that's for sure.
Before I let you go, how did you and Kenny Schrader become acquainted and it looks like pretty good buddies?
The middle of 2009, I started driving for Robbie Benton in the ARCA car, and he was kind of busy with his Nationwide and truck stuff over in his shop in Concord, and Kenny's shop's right across the street. So we went over and, you know, rented a little bit of shop space from Kenny, and a couple of his people helped us out, and we used his hauler and kind of did it as a joint effort. And along the way there, we became good buds. You know, we ride up and down the road to the race together, had some friendly bets going at the races that we did race together. And then the next year I went and drove for Cunningham and had a great year, 2010. And, just stayed close. And we have a great relationship, and then getting a drive for him is a lot of fun.
So absolutely.
You know, the more stories I get, I don't know if the smarter I get, but I get some good stories out of him.
Kenny Schrader cannot run out of stories, considering he runs about every day of the week and is all over the country. He is incredible what he does, but the fans love him, the drivers love him, and he is doing what he loves, and that is racing, and obviously that's what you do too. Congratulations again on the win, and good luck at the coin, and good luck with coming up with something for 2013.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, and thanks for having me on the show. It was a pleasure, and hopefully we'll catch you at the racetrack soon.
Tom Hessert, who came away with the win last weekend, driving for Kenny Schrader at Salem Speedway, a great little half-mile racetrack, high-banked. And it really does have about the same pavement that it had probably 60 years ago on it. One of these days they're going to have to replace it, but it is a great, great track with a lot of history. Well, next up, we'll turn our attention to a series that's coming to the U.S. for the first time, but they travel all over the world. The World Touring Car Championship. We'll talk to James Nash when we return to Pit Pass USA, part of the Power Motorsports Series at VoiceAmericaSports.com.
School to the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Ready for in-your-face sports? Want to talk about the topics that nobody else is willing to talk about, either because they're too scared to touch them or just don't think it's the way to go? You're not going to be shy here. Tune in to Here's the Deal with Mega and Steel, featuring Ike Mega Griffin and Sydney Steel Justice. We've got the facts to back up the talk and invite you to join us every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern, just before the weekend on the Voice America Sports Channel. We tell it like it is.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams, Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Lockdown Coverage.
Get ready to talk sports with the big guys. Tune in to Lockdown Coverage with Keith Lewis every Tuesday for the inside and outside of the business of sports. Keith and his guests will provide expert commentary and answer all of your burning questions about your favorite team, the players, and what's next. It's time to have fun with the game. Listen for Lockdown Coverage with Keith Lewis and his favorite co-hosts every Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. The talk doesn't get any hotter.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
The World Touring Car Championship this weekend is out in beautiful Sonoma, California, up there outside of San Francisco. And this is a series that travels around the world. And joining me now is one of the drivers. It's on board one of the global Ford Focus that are racing this season in the series, and that is James Nash. James, welcome, and welcome to the United States.
Yeah, thank you very much. Landed yesterday. It's really, really nice, and it's great to be at the track. I've got a nice view of the track here now, so it looks awesome, and I can't wait to get on it.
Now, this series, for those who don't know, the World Touring Car Championship races all over the world. You have been just about everywhere so far this season. And I look through, you've run in Italy, you have run in Spain, you have run in Morocco, you've run in Slovakia, Hungary, you've been in Brazil just last time out, Austria. You have been everywhere. This series is worldwide.
Yeah, it's really good. It's nice to travel the world and showcase our cars and our racing. It's the first time that we've come to California, so we're all really excited to be here, and it's a lovely place, and this track looks really good.
James, can you tell people exactly what the World Touring Car Championship is, those that are not familiar with the race series?
Yeah, it's the cars are based very much on the road cars. They're very highly spec'd in terms of technology. But the idea is to give people the feel that when they turn up in their, like our car, Ford Focus, the race car looks fairly similar to it, so they can see their car on the track and racing. It's very close racing because it's highly controlled. Engines are all very similar. It's close racing. There's a bit of bumping going on, which everybody likes to see, and normally plenty of overtaking.
Now, this year, you and Tom Chilton, who also drives one of the Fords, this is the brand-new global Ford Focus that you are running on the track with a 1.6-liter turbocharged engine. How has it been going?
Yeah, it's been very tough. Me and Tom are both new to the championship. The team are new with the new Focus as well. So we've been working very hard to improve the car and also learn all the tracks. This is a big step for Tom and I. So we've had some ups and downs. Marrakesh was a positive for me. I managed to get reverse grid pole. I led the race for a bit. I finished sixth there, so highest finish for the new Focus. And I qualified fourth in Slovakia. So we've had some real positives. And just looking forward to getting out here in the lovely weather and the lovely surrounding as well. I can't get over it. It just looks really good.
It is a beautiful area out there in Sonoma, California. No question about that. What do you expect from the fans who maybe have not been exposed to the World Touring Car Championship as you come to Sonoma this weekend?
Yeah, we always knew it's going to be a hard task to get lots of people here. You know, promoting the event and what we do and how our cars race, something we've got to try and educate people on. But I think if they come and see it, they'll be wanting more and be wanting to see more. So I think this year is a case of just trying to promote the championships, show everybody what it's all about. If we can get it viewed on TV enough, people might enjoy it. So next year, hopefully when we come back, then people will be coming along and spectating the grandstands, because there's enough seats here.
You were talking a little earlier about the bumping and banging that goes on. Does it in the World Touring Car Championship, it is really wheel-to-wheel that much?
It is very much wheel-to-wheel. bumping and banging, yeah, we're not supposed to. It's non-contact sport, but there's a few little rubs here and there, just enough to get the car in front out of the way, and yeah, so you can slide past. It's like most saloon car racing, and we've watched NASCAR a few times on the TV, and you know they do bump driving. We can't quite do that, but there's definite pushing, and yeah, you want to get past the car in front, so sometimes you have to create a hole.
Now, you mentioned that this is your first year in the World Touring Car Championship. Of course, a year ago, you took the Independence Championship of the British Touring Car Championship. So you've moved up a class, but coming off a championship year.
Yeah, no, it was a good year for us last year in the British. But we always want to move on and look for the next step. So this was the obvious place to come, and I couldn't miss an opportunity like this to be traveling around the world and visiting such awesome places.
And as I mentioned earlier, you have been just about everywhere in the world, and you've still got, I believe, China is on the schedule. There's a swing through Asia that's going to wrap up the season. I'd hate to think how many miles that you travel in a year, not only you yourself, but also the team.
Yeah, the guys are constantly moving, yeah. It's, there's a lot of hard work that goes into it, because when we're back at home as well, we have a test car. So the car's out on track in the UK when it's not out on track in whatever country it is at. So they do have a busy time, and they work very hard on the car to keep it competitive and keep constant upgrades coming to improve our position.
How have you found that global Ford Focus that you are driving along with Tom Chilton?
There's very, very good aspects to it. The car's not where I would like it to be or where the team would like it to be, so the only positive about that is there's very clear steps and clear visions of where it needs to get to, so that makes the job slightly easier. If the car was absolutely perfect, and we'd probably struggle to find more time in it, but because it's not perfect, there's it should be easier to find more time in the car and allow us to move up the grid. So it's been exciting, it's been enjoyable, there's been highs and lows, but that's motorsport, I think.
Does it help that they have been running the Focus in some other series around the world where they can get some data from that and maybe help with the process of getting your car going faster and better?
For the mechanics, it's helped them because they understand the car and they know every single nut and bolt on it. In terms of engineering, it's probably not quite so helpful. The regulations are very different to how they've been running it before, so it's a very new car. Although it looks the same on the outside, it's very different underneath. And there's been some major upgrades as well, so it's changed significantly compared to the British car that they were running last year.
James, have you run in the United States before in your racing career?
Never. This is my first time over here for racing. Yeah, I wish I'd been out here sooner, but there we go. This is a perfect opportunity to race, and really looking forward to it. I just hope the crowd come along and watch it.
I know you mentioned earlier that you're kind of blown away by what you're seeing there out in Sonoma, which is beautiful wine country and a layout. What is your impression of that racetrack? And I know you haven't been out there racing yet, but just seeing the area and all and kind of taking a quick glance at it as compared to, say, other places that you have been in the world.
Yeah, it's there's not a lot of runoff, so it's almost like a real street course in places. But you look at the map, and it looks flat, doesn't it? But when you get here, and there's definite hills, so lots of blind crests, which is going to be exciting. And the carousel, they call it, that looks really, really good. So there's going to be decent overtaking places there, and into the last hairpin as well. There's plenty of opportunities to make a move. And also plenty of opportunities to make a mistake. So it's going to be challenging.
Well, it looks like it's going to be an interesting weekend and a chance for the fans here in America to get a taste of the World Touring Car Championship, and hopefully it'll start building a fan base here in America for everyone involved as you travel the world. Why not America? I mean, we make an awful lot of cars here.
Yeah, you sure do, and the Focus is sold here, so it's a car that is used on the road over here, so it'd be nice to see it out racing and hopefully winning soon.
Well, James, welcome to the United States, and good luck at one of the most beautiful areas in all of America out in Sonoma, California this weekend.
Yeah, thank you very much. It'll be good to catch up maybe after the race weekend.
James Nash, who comes to the United States not only to run for the first time in the World Touring Car Championship in the United States on a Tonola, but never been in the United States before. So this is a great run for him. And they go to China, they go to Japan, they go to Macau. They could go all over the world. It's just going to be an incredible time. Well, I want to thank all my guests who appeared on the show tonight. Tommy Milner, John Bennett, Tom Hessett, and, of course, James Nash, our last guest of the day. Thank you for listening. Don't forget, you can always email me, Larry Henry at PitPassUSA.com. Larry Henry at PitPassUSA.com. You can also find me at Twitter, which is PitPassUSA. Pretty simple there. And you can always listen to the show. Again, if you want to, or tell your friends about it, PitPassUSA.com or VoiceAmericaSports.com is where the show is archived, and also we are available at iTunes. Thank you for listening. We will do it again next Wednesday night, 7 o'clock Eastern Time, right back here, PitPassUSA. Have yourself a great week. Part of the Power Motorsports Series at VoiceAmericaSports.com.
For this week, time to get ready for another great week of racing to talk about next time on Pit Pass. Tune in next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, for another fast-paced 200-mile-per-hour edition of Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry on Power Up, your motorsports channel.